Hello and welcome back to the Live Out Loud podcast. My name is Aaliyah, and this is not just any other episode. This is a very special episode because it is the season one finale. You guys, 10 episodes, here we are. I was thinking about how I walked through 3 years, truly, of this delayed obedience, knowing that God had put this podcast on my heart, put speaking and sharing his word and my life on my heart. And I kind of was just like, I don't really know if I want to do that. Are you sure you want me to do that? And you know, all that delay. Delayed obedience is still disobedience. That's what I've found, been saying since the beginning. But 3 years of that to now what the last 3 months of my life have looked like. It took me 3 months to make a whole season of just what the Lord had been putting on my heart, encouragement I felt like he'd been speaking, things that I had been walking through and just wanted to share it with somebody else. And I'm just in awe of God. And so I figured, what better way to end season one with a more funny, lighthearted episode? I don't know if lighthearted is the term, because this is actually serious. So I'm going to be sharing many of the times the Holy Spirit told on me. I was going to say the Holy Spirit snitched on me, but I don't really like the word snitch, because that's like a really bad, like a negative connotation. Like, oh, snitches get stitches. Like, no, the Holy Spirit, he's perfect. He's not snitching. Like what is the definition of snitching? I'm just going to look this up right now so we can settle this, because I don't really know if I feel comfortable. Snitch definition. A snitch is to inform on someone. Oh, well, he definitely be informing on me. So maybe that's not an inform. Okay. Yeah, to snitch is to inform on someone, and the noun is an informer. Okay, so the Holy Spirit definitely was an informer on me. The Holy Spirit did and has snitched on me many a times in my childhood, especially my teenage years. And so I want to touch on that, because I think obviously it's just funny to share and to have you guys here. And sometimes, honestly, some of the stories are kind of juicy, things I've never shared before. So this will be really, really interesting. But I want to lay the foundation, because as funny as it is, the Holy Spirit is real. He's alive. If you accepted Jesus, he is on the inside of you. And so I want to do my due diligence and just share how important and how thankful I am to have had the Holy Spirit, because I truly don't want to think about where I'd be, what I'd be doing, the things I would have got into had not the Holy Spirit informed on me, told my parents on me, had not the Holy Spirit warned me, had not the Holy Spirit woken me up, had not the Holy Spirit given me a dream. So can I just say, I love the Holy Spirit, and I'm so thankful that God chose to put him inside of his people. And so I love the way scripture describes the Holy Spirit. There's so many different ways. There's, you know, he's called the advocate, the comforter, the intercessor, the confidant, our helper. He's literally everything that we could ever need on the inside of us. And I also love, there is a translation that describes the Holy Spirit as like an engagement ring, like a down payment to ensure that Christ is coming back for his people. We literally have the Holy Spirit as like an engagement ring, a down payment guarantee that God is going to do what he said. He's going to come back and save his people. And I just love that. Truly. Like, I'm engaged with the Holy Spirit of God on the inside of me. Thank you. Ring where? Okay. Who needs a ring? I want a ring. But That's neither here nor there. I have the Holy Spirit in the meantime. So anyways, I want to just share really quickly what John chapter 16 verses 12 through 15 says. This is Jesus. He's speaking and he says, "There is so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me." And that's So that last verse was verse 15. And I really love that because I feel like that is another indication of the Trinity, because Jesus is saying all that belongs to the Father is mine. So we already know Jesus and the Father are one. But now he's saying that's why the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. So whatever, they're all intertwined. What Jesus, the Father and Jesus are one. Jesus receiving things from the Father. Jesus is receiving things from the Father. The Holy Spirit is receiving things from Jesus. And they're truly one. God in three persons. And so this isn't an episode on the Trinity and all that stuff, but I want to talk about the Holy Spirit, because I do feel like oftentimes he is the most neglected person in the Holy Spirit, because, you know, we talk about Jesus all the time, we talk about God the Father, but we a lot of times fail to mention the power that we have comes from the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. Jesus, God literally chose to give us his Spirit. And so we have him to warn us, to protect us, to tell us things and give us insight and to lead us into truth. And so I have, like I said, some stories to tell from my childhood, but I actually want to share a story about what happened to me last night. So if you follow me on Instagram, I just posted a Reels today talking about how I'm at the point where if I wake up in the middle of the night and I know something's off in my spirit, I'm praying Psalm 91. I'm praying Psalm 23. I'm pleading the blood of Jesus. I am repenting for anything that could have opened the door for, you know, any spirits to try to disturb my sleep. And so I dreamt last night that I was in an apartment. It wasn't my current place, but I knew it was my apartment. It honestly looked kind of dingy, to be honest. And I thought I had locked the door, but I noticed somebody was jiggling it, and I realized that I hadn't locked the door, and it was like partially opened. And I remember putting my body weight, pressing my body weight against the door, like trying to prevent whoever was trying to come in. And I was like trying to call for help. I was like trying to like say my brother's name, but it was like a whisper. And I ended up waking up and I was immediately like, Jesus, and, you know, just pleading the blood of Jesus. And like I said, praying in scripture, but I knew what happened. I know I woke up and I immediately knew what that dream was about. Basically that night I was, you know, the night before last night, I was scrolling on Instagram Reels, and I'm not saying Instagram Reels are bad. I'm not saying that you should delete your Instagram. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is there comes a point in a time where that becomes overindulgence. That becomes poor stewardship of your time, because my time before bed, sure, you want to scroll Instagram Reels for 10, 15 minutes. Why not unwind? But when you're doing that for hours and just letting whatever, you don't know what the next reel is going to be. You don't know what your eyes and your ears are going to be exposed to with the next scroll. And so I had gotten into this like true crime, like really eerie side of Instagram. And I don't like that kind of stuff. I actually, like, my family knows I like hate that. I do not like crime documentaries. I don't like anything, because I feel like it opens the door for fear, because I'm starting to get fearful and I'm making up all these fake scenarios. And so anyways, long story short, I end up getting on like true crime, because Instagram knows what you interact with, what videos you're watching all the way through. So long story short, I was just watching these videos, and there was some stuff that was like really eerie, and I felt fear into the room as I was watching these videos. So I ended up falling asleep, and like I said, I ended up having that dream, and I knew that I had opened the door, that whoever was trying to come in, when I was trying to come in, I was giving access, because I hadn't fully locked the door. I hadn't closed the door off to the enemy. I hadn't closed the door off to fear. And so now it's coming knocking because I left the door open. And so that could be a whole nother episode in itself, but I want to start with that because that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who warned me. The Holy Spirit, you know, was the one who woke me up. You know, this is God on the inside of me. God didn't have to warn me of that. God didn't have to show me, yeah, this is a door you opened, and like now if you start feeling fearful and scared and having all these weird things happening to you, like you opened the door for that. And he gave me an opportunity to repent. He gave me opportunity to close that door. But he didn't have to do that. That's how loving our God is. And that's how powerful the Holy Spirit is, because he will lead and guide us into all truth if we allow him to. And so that's what I want to start off with. But now let's get into some of the juicy stories from my childhood. So two of the ones on the list I already talked about in my, what was the episode called? It was my dating experience as a 25-year-old virgin. If you haven't listened to that, go check it out, because I think it's one of my favorite episodes of this season personally. But I shared two of these stories on there already, so I'll give like a brief overview. But basically, one of the first ones, I was in eighth grade. I was on the phone with this sophomore in high school. I'm macking it up on the phone and we're talking, and my dad busts into my room, which, like, my parents weren't normally like, let me tell you something about my parents really quick. My parents were never like super helicopter parents, super like, what are you doing? Where are you going? Like, they were never really like that. Only when I was doing something I shouldn't be doing. And so they had every right to be like that, like in those cases, you know. So they weren't really like that most of the time, but the Holy Spirit would really tip them off, like, hey, she's doing something she's not supposed to be doing. She's, you know, talking to someone she shouldn't be talking to. So long story short, my dad's like, who are you talking to? And I'm like, I lie. I'm like, it's my friend Sam. And he's like, let me see the phone. And it was an unsafe number. So he looks at the, glances at the phone real quick, and then memorize, literally has a photographic memory, takes a screenshot with his mind and remembers the phone number and calls the phone number. The guy answers the phone. My dad's like, oh yeah, who is this? And yeah, so that was that one. And then another one, I had my little secret boyfriend that I had in middle school and high school. You were like, you know, thought we were in love and da 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 da. And I was supposed to be texting him, and I had already lost my parents' trust because I was on the phone with the guy, that other guy I just told you about. So this is, you know, flash forward a few months later, and I had to leave my phone downstairs, and my parents knew my lock, my passcode and all that stuff. So I left my phone downstairs at night, and my dad never really, like, after a while, he stopped checking my phone, you know, gained trust. And one night the Holy Spirit just said, check her phone. And that's when he found messages that, you know, suggested that me and this friend of mine weren't really friends. We liked each other, and it was evident in our text messages. And so anyways, those were, if you want the full story, you can go back to the episode, but those are the two. Now I want to talk about this third one is probably the most like, what? And so this is what I want to talk about the most. This story right here, put the fear of God in me like never before. This story right here is, I could honestly say, well, I don't want to say it's solely the reason why I believe that God is real, but I already believe God was real up until this point, and that just solidified it for me even further, because this is not a coincidence. This is not a happenstance. So I think I was a senior in high school at this time. Or was I a junior? Maybe I was a junior. I was either a junior or senior. I was about 16, 17 years old. And it's no secret, I've told you guys that I used to drink. I used to get drunk. I used to do things that you just should not be doing. And so we were in high school. I had a friend who had like a really nice big house, and her parents were out of town. And I told my parents I was gonna sleep at her house, and they're like, yeah, cool. Like, we know her. She's on your team, whatever. But what I didn't tell them is that there were boys there, and they were also sleeping over. And what I didn't tell them is that we were drinking and like just acting a fool. That's also what I didn't. There's some things I just, minor details I just failed to mention. And so, you know, we're drinking, we're like making spaghetti at 3 a.m. We're just like being crazy, like just whatever. So it's like 5 a.m., 5:30 maybe. And we're finally just now going to get in bed. And so we're like all sleeping in her parents' bed. And I, like, can barely sleep. I'm drunk. And I'm like, okay. So I look at my phone. I see a text message come through from my mother. And I don't remember what it said word for word, but it said something like, I don't know where you are or what you're doing right now, but the Holy Spirit just woke me up out of my sleep to pray Psalm 91 over you, or some scripture. I'm sure it was Psalm 91. You need to come home right now. And so I was like, yo, that's crazy. What are we gonna do? I obviously can't come home right now. I'm literally intoxicated. So I think I just like pretended like I mean, I couldn't sleep. I literally laid there awake. I couldn't sleep. How do you go to bed after that? How do you go to bed after your mom just knows what you're doing? And so I'm like, okay, I'm laying there for hours. Keep in mind, you wanna know the dumbest part about all of this? I have practice in the morning. I'm on a sports team. I have practice in literally a few hours. So where were you going with this? What were you planning on doing? Like, I critical thinking was not all the way there. Okay, I was 17. Okay, that's just what happens. I'm 25 now. My frontal lobe is fully developed. In hindsight, never, ever, ever should have did that. But so I ended up making it to practice. I don't practice. I tell my coach that I, like, you know, luckily, I shouldn't say luckily, but a lot of girls were not feeling well. And I basically just said I, like, caught what they caught because we were in close proximity and, you know, doing routines and things like that. So, you know, when one person got sick, everybody got sick because we were all together so close and like had to touch. We were doing kick line, have to touch each other. So long story short, thankfully, other girls were sick. I said, yeah, I got it, too. I'm laying on the side with a blanket knowing good and darn well I am hungover. I'm also shook to my core that I received that text message from my mother. And I don't even remember what happened after that. I don't remember when I came home, what she said to me. I don't even remember. I don't know, but praise the Lord for her. Praise the Lord for the Holy Spirit. And so, yeah, that was one of the many stories I had, especially in high school, where I was like, yeah, I know this God thing, this Jesus thing is real. I know it. I've seen it. But like, no one can convince me otherwise at this point, because how did that happen? How did she know? And so after that, I really got to the point where I was like, not trying to really do things I shouldn't be doing, because I really got scared. I mean, like, when I talk about the fear of the Lord, I'm not saying fearful as in like I was crippling fear, like, oh my gosh, I can't do it. But I really did have this like respect, like, yo, I cannot be doing what I want to be doing and wilding out here in these streets, because the Holy Spirit's gonna tell on me. The Holy Spirit knows, he sees me, and I'm not partaking in this. So there was another time that I kind of had learned my lesson. So I was hanging out with my childhood best friend and then one of our guy friends. And my dad didn't really like me hanging out with his guy friend too much, especially by myself, because I think he thought something was up, which there like kind of was something up, but not really at the same time. So like, I don't know. I just think that he was like, what's going on between you two? Like, we weren't romantically involved at all. But I just think he didn't like us hanging out, especially one-on-one. And so I was with my other friend, with my girlfriend. So I was like, you know, it's not just us two, like we're all in a group. And we're also a little bit older, you know, I think maybe this is the same year, junior year, senior year, I don't remember. But long story short, I call my dad calls me. He's like, where are you? And I'm like, oh, we're in the Kroger parking lot. He's like, you're in the Kroger parking lot? And I'm like, yeah, we're just chilling here talking in the car. And we were driving, or we were somewhere, but I just knew as soon as we weren't in the Kroger parking lot. Spoiler alert. We weren't there. And so once I hang up, I tell my friend, I say, we got to go. We have to go to Kroger right now. We have to go to Kroger right now. Keep in mind, I live down the street from the Kroger. The Kroger is the closest store I could have ever said. I should have said I was somewhere else down the street. No. So anyways, I'm like, we have to go to Kroger. I told my dad I was at Kroger, and now I have to go to Kroger because I have to actually be at Kroger. And so they're like, okay, bet. So we're zooming. We get to Kroger. We park. And then I see my dad's car flying in the parking lot. And he's like, Aaliyah. I'm like, Dad, I just saw you. I just saw you. I told you it's a Kroger parking lot. I just saw you drive by. And he was like, oh, okay. And so, like, that was kind of, like, left at that, and it was okay. But like I said, I had learned my lesson at this point. Like, I can't be lying. I can't really be scheming because, like, I know the truth is going to come out. So I need to, like, I have to be honest, or at least like try to be honest. So that happened. That was a funny little story. But another one that I was actually just thinking about, because there are so many, like, these are just a few that kind of stick out to me. But when I tell you, there are so many instances, especially in high school, when my parents were like, what are you doing? And I was like, nothing. Even though I was doing something very much that I shouldn't have been doing. So this one is also kind of a funny one and like kind of unique to my like high school experience. So I've shared before, I went to a very large high school. I feel like I gotta explain it every time I talk about it, but it's the only way that this would make sense. I basically had our district had three high schools, which is common. A lot of districts have more than one school, high school. However, our district decided to put all three of our high schools on the same campus. Okay. And then our district also decided that regardless of what school you actually were assigned to, you could have classes in any of the other schools. Okay. So because of that, even though I had a home school, when it came to attendance, for example, I could get excused from another school. One of the other schools had the authority to excuse my records, The other schools had the authority to excuse my attendance, excuse my records, because, you know, I had teachers from that school. So, long story short, senior year, if you look at my report cards, I think, like, each semester, I think I was absent, like, 40 days. But, like, not the whole day. Like, I should say, like, 40 periods. Like, if we're 6 hours in a school day, 6 periods, I remember one of my semester, like, 42, and the other semester probably said, like, 40-something. I was just gone a lot. Keep in mind, those semesters, I had a 4.1 and a 4.0, okay? I was smart. I did what I needed to do. It was senior year. I had a 2-hour block. I worked a school store. You know, we got to mess around. Senior year, this is what we work for. This was my reward, okay? So, you know, I was about my grades. But, you know, when you turn 18, you're able to excuse yourself. But I turned 18 in May, and we graduated in June. So I had 1 month. I had, like, 3 good weeks of being able to excuse my absences because I was an adult. But everybody else, you know, if you turned 18 when you were, like, at the beginning of the year, you can excuse yourself as much as you want. You're an adult, legally. So, luckily, my parents are pretty flexible about me, like, about calling out my attendance and excusing me, just because, like I said, I was a good student. I had, like, been accepted to a good school, and I, you know, got good grades. So they were kind of, like, flexible and lenient with me, like, being able to, like, miss some classes here and there. But there was one time, I think I was trying to leave school, and we had a closed campus, so you couldn't leave for lunch. You weren't supposed to, I should say. I did a lot, but you weren't supposed to leave for lunch. You weren't supposed to go anywhere. You had to always have a pass with you. I mean, it's a big school. There's a lot of security, a lot of police. Like, they're just trying to make sure everything's safe, right? So I had a friend. Like I said, I had a 2-hour block class. So one of my 2-hour block was the school store. So we got to bake the cookies and sell the school store cookies, make popcorn, sell popcorn, sell our merch and apparel. Like, it was super fun. Advanced marketing, my favorite. So we basically had a lot of free time in that class. And one of my friends had this phone service where you could change your caller ID. So he could change it and make it look like somebody else was calling, even though it was him calling. So I asked him to change his caller ID and make it look like it was my dad's phone number and call one of the other schools to excuse me for the day. He couldn't do it at my home school because my home school attendance lady knew me through and through. Everybody at my school knew me, the security guards, the attendance, the school officer, everybody knew me. They knew my dad. My dad coached the track team. The attendance lady called my dad Reverend Jones. Hi, Reverend Jones. So, like, she knew me. Her name was Nancy. She knew me. So he couldn't pretend to be my dad because Nancy'd be like, this is not Mr. Jones. This is not Reverend Jones. So I had him call one of the other schools. And he had a deeper voice. So he was like, yeah, I'm calling to excuse my daughter, Aaliyah Jones, from, you know, the next 2 class periods, blah, 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 whatever. But as he's on the phone in the middle of the conversation, the call drops because he ran out of minutes. So the software only had so many minutes that you could, you know, pretend to be somebody. So the call drops. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, they're going to call my dad. They're going to call him right back and be like, oh, sorry, what happened? Like, you know. So then my dad texts me and he's like, Aaliyah, why is the school office calling me, asking me, did I want to excuse you from class? And I was like, I think I just told him the truth, honestly. I really think I straight up told him. I was like, yeah, I had my friend do this. And yeah. And I was like, so what did you say? He was like, well, I excused you. And I was like, oh, thank you. And he's like, don't do it again. And I was like, yes, sir. So that was just another funny little instance. Like I said, I learned my lesson. I feel like in the beginning, you know, trying to sneak around and be like, you know, ooh, okay, I'm all good. No, you're not, because the Holy Spirit is going to tell on you. The Holy Spirit is going to inform my parents. My parents have an obligation to train me up in the way that I should go, so that when I am older, I will not depart from it. They have an obligation. And I believe part of that obligation includes being discerning and sensitive to the Holy Spirit to look out for my best interest, to protect me from any, you know, ongoing things, from any preeminent danger. You know, who knows what could have happened had, you know, the Holy Spirit not intervened in those different times. And I think he really used those as lessons to show me that he's real, he's alive, but he's concerned with me. He cares for me. At the end of the day, even after all the times I got caught doing things, I knew I could never really be mad at God. I knew I could never really be mad at God because he was doing what was best for me. He was trying to protect me. He knew that he had a future and a plan and a purpose for me, but he knew that I could not allow the things of this world to taint my perspective, to harden my heart, to get me to turn my back on God. And so honestly, as funny as it is, you know, sharing these different things and looking back on, you know, the naive instances of my youth, I'm thankful for those moments. I'm thankful for every time the Holy Spirit intervened, the Holy Spirit snitched on me, because it made me stronger. It made me more aware of his sovereignty, of his presence, of his power. And it also made me extremely grateful to have parents who, like I said, were so sensitive to the Holy Spirit. When something was even the slightest bit off, they were praying into it for clarity. They were seeking God and going to the scriptures and praying those scriptures over me. I really think that when it comes to parenting, obviously I'm not a parent yet, but I have amazing parents. And I remember that they would say all the time that they were doing the best they could. And I think that as a parent, I can imagine that that's truly all you really want, is to be able to say that you did the best you could. And they knew that the best they could do was raising me and raising my siblings to know the Lord. That was the best thing they could ever do for us. And so I'm thankful for my parents. I'm thankful to God and for his Holy Spirit. And I'm just thankful that all these opportunities and, you know, learning lessons were truly utilized to further my faith and to be a testimony of, you know, what happens when you stop walking in disobedience and rebellion and truly surrender your life fully for the Lord. And so I don't think I've shared yet on my podcast fully my testimony of like college and that transformation. I've shared it on As For Me In My House podcast with Melena and Jordan. And I think I also touched a little bit on Let's Catch Up with Miley. So I will try to link those episodes down below. But yeah, it's been great. It's been a wild, amazing, crazy ride. And I'm just so thankful that it led me right here to this moment in time where I get to just share how amazing God is and how real and true and genuine he is, and the real experiences and encounters I had with him, and the hopes that whoever's listening would seek him, whoever's listening would run to him, whoever's listening would take the scriptures and pray them over themselves, over their future families, their current families, and just be with him. That's all he ever really wants, is to be with us. And I love being with him. So anyways, thank you for being here. Thank you for riding with me through a whole season. And I just can't wait for what is in store. I'm really excited. And I'm thinking I'll take a few weeks off. I leave for Seattle tomorrow afternoon to be with my family for Christmas. And so probably expect to hear from me mid to late January. And in the meantime, I just pray everybody has such a Merry Christmas and truly beholds Jesus as the reason for the season. That's not just a cute little rhyming word. It truly means that God is with us, Emmanuel, God with us, that this birth is the true catalyst of our faith. And we get to see God come to earth and dwell with us. And then he never leaves us. He leaves his Holy Spirit to be with us so that we're never apart from him. Ooh, I could cry. Well, anyways, Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for every person that's under the sound of my voice. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that leads and guides us into all truth, all knowledge, into understanding your scripture and your word and being able to apply that to our lives. And so, Father, I pray that we have the most amazing Christmas holiday season as we dwell and remember and cherish the birth of our Savior Jesus and what it meant when he came into the world as a baby. And so, Lord, we thank you that you chose him, that you chose us to be like him, and that through his sacrifice, we are able to be clothed in his righteousness. We are able to call on the name of the Lord and be saved. We're able to have salvation, and we're able to have the blood of the Lamb that cleanses us from sin, that protects us from harm and danger. And so, Father, we just give you glory. We give you honor. I pray over this start to 2025, God, that we would just be so in tune with you and your spirit, so ever sensitive to what you're saying and what you're leading, and just all that we could do to bring you glory and honor in everything. And so, Father, we love you so much. And it is in your amazing, matchless name we pray. Amen. I love you guys, and I will talk to you guys in season 2. Bye.